We have some special guests today, people that have moved to Canada from Ukraine, and we want to welcome you folks, and we want to pray for you folks. So let's just stand and pray for these folks and for Ukraine.
Amen.
Lord, we just lift up the terrible, terrible situation that's going on. We don't understand these things, Lord. We know that people are hurting. We know that people are dying. And Lord, we simply ask for your intervention, and we ask for your will done. Daniel so accurately said in his prophecy that you set up kings and you take down kings. And he was a man of prayer, and he prayed for your will to be done in his life and the life of his country. And we would pray that today. Lord, I pray for these people, these individuals, Lord, that you'd surround them with your peace.
Yes.
Surround them with your peace and your blessing, Lord.
Amen.
Help them to adjust to our country here, and maybe find peace here, and maybe be refreshed in their spirits, Lord. Lord, there's also so many people in our congregation that continue to hurt in so many ways. We think once again of the loss of a loved one for Larry and Judy, for Mel and Karen. Lord, surround them, we pray. Lord, as we just look to you right now in this moment, if there's someone here that needs that amazing touch from you, I pray that as they reach out, they would sense you touching him, healing him, transforming him. Thank you, Lord, for your amazing power. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, why should we celebrate Easter? Why is it important? I just want to give you a couple of reasons this morning. First, we live in the public square. We live in a culture where people around have no knowledge of Jesus as their Savior. They probably haven't heard much about him, and so we have the opportunity and we have the privilege to speak the celebration of Easter into our community. Unfortunately, like Christmas and St. Patrick's Day, Easter to a large degree has succumbed to the wishes of our secular society to make the holiday something radically different than what its original intent. Now, if you doubt what I just said, just Google the word Easter and ask for images of Easter. Ask for some pictures about Easter. I did that. And I was shown 77 pictures of rabbits and colored eggs before I came to the first image that had anything to do with the real meaning of Easter. And that was a cross, appropriately, that appeared on my screen. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17 and 18, Paul writes this. He says, "For Christ didn't send me to baptize, but to speak the good news, not with clever speech, for fear that the cross of Christ would lose its power. The message of the cross is foolishness to those who are headed for destruction. But we who are being saved know that it is the very power of God." Well, in our secular culture with its colored eggs and bunnies, Easter from a spiritual perspective has become, to many, foolishness. It may be a pleasant family time with Easter egg searches and plenty of good food, but spiritually, to the majority of our culture, the story and the meaning of the cross is indeed foolishness to them. An old myth or an old fable, they might well conclude. Easter, the message of the cross and resurrection, was once a powerful message in our nation. But I fear that the message has indeed lost its power for the vast majority of our secular culture. Tragically, the story of Jesus and the story of his passion, the story of his death, the story of his resurrection, the story of his ascension into glory has been demoted in standing to that of a myth. And within each passing year, there's a growing number within our secular community who have not even heard the name of Jesus other than in the context of a swear word. There's another trend that's developing that perhaps going unnoticed by both. Each year as fall comes around, and I hate to think of fall right now, we're excited about the spring.
Yeah.
But each year as fall comes around, I begin to look for a new day book or a new calendar for writing down my appointments. And that usually takes me to my favorite store, which is called Deals in the Own Sound Strip. How many men, that's your favorite store? Yeah. And so I got one there for 99 cents instead of $19 at Staples. And so when I started to look through it, I noticed something peculiar. It didn't have either Good Friday or Easter marked as holidays in our calendar. And I don't really claim to be a prophet of any stature, but I do predict that there is coming a time when all religious holidays will either be renamed or removed from our calendars altogether because of the growing voices of those who claim to be offended by the message of the cross and our Christian heritage. But there are two important things to note here. First, regarding the message of the crucifixion and resurrection, the fact that it may be considered as foolishness does not change the reality that without the saving power of the cross, countless folks indeed are headed for eternal destruction. So it is imperative that the church, we as church members, our church, it's important that we continue to proclaim the need for the cross, the message of the cross, to proclaim the forgiveness that the cross made possible, to claim the hope of a personal resurrection and of eternal life for those who believe. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 19 to 21, Paul writes, "And he gave us the wonderful message of reconciliation. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us, and we speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ." So we see here that we have, as believers, very clear and direct directive to make the gospel known. It may seem foolishness to those in our secular culture, but it is the only antidote for sin in our lives. It is our only hope for our eternal future. And today, we who understand and have accepted the implications of the cross and the resurrection have a wonderful hope of an eternal future in glory. There are, of course, many ways of making the gospel heard, but let's not miss the opportunity to use Easter to make his name and the story of the cross known. As of now, it is still recognized as a holiday. It is still on most of our calendars, and it's a holiday that many of your neighbors and friends are talking about. And let's make sure we use that discussion as a segue into a conversation about the real meaning of Easter and what it means to us. Let's be an ambassador for the real meaning of Easter. I'm going to ask Ron to come and share what Easter means to him and why he thinks it's important.
Trish, I kind of tie back to Good Friday a little bit too, going forward. And it's funny, it's April, and I got saved 42 years ago in April.
Woo.
And here we go. Very first suit I ever bought with my own money, 17 years old. And I went to an evening service with Jan's family, and the Holy Spirit convicted me of my sin. And that night, that brand new suit felt like filthy rags. But what a work the Lord did in forgiving me for my sins. And then Easter comes, and we have new life. You know, when this life's over, we get to be with Him. And we get to worship Him and praise Him for eternity. And one of the things that stands out for me with Easter is Christ is interceding for us now. And it puts the power in prayer for me. Is that when He ascended to heaven, He's at the right hand of the Father. And so every struggle that we have, Trish, you know this. You know that we go to Him and we know He's interceding for us.
Amen.
With the Father. And so He's still doing so much more for us than we realize in this life. And I want to praise His name. And if you guys think about this, I've been a working man most of my life. And there's always some people that you know you can just count on. You ask them to do a job or ask them to help you with something. They're there, they do it. And that's exactly who Christ is in our prayer life. We ask, and He speaks to the Father on our behalf. Not necessarily for us, because you know, many times we can be praying for other people. But I just know He's still doing such a wonderful thing for us all.
Amen.
And I praise Him. Thanks.
Amen.
Amen.
Thanks, Ron. I think I'm off. So another reason we can celebrate Easter is because the events of Easter and the accomplishments of Easter, yes, they are critical to our faith, but they are also substantiated powerfully through the witnesses. Without Easter, our faith, our Christian faith, falls apart. Without the resurrection of Jesus, there's really not much left of our Christian faith. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 14 to 17, Paul writes this. He says, "And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain. And your faith is also vain. Yea, we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that He raised up Christ, whom He raised, if He raised not up, if so that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain. You are yet in your sins." So it's so important, so critical to our faith. I'm sure that there are many times in your life where you have struggled a little bit and said, kind of in your heart, so how do we know that this story is true? How do we know that Christ is risen? Well, one of the ways is through the testimonies of other believers, and we've heard some of those today. How can we know those three little words are really true? You know, there are countless cases in our world where the eyewitness testimony of a single witness has resulted in the conviction of a criminal. Let's consider for a moment the death and resurrection of Jesus. There were 11 of the 12 key disciples of Jesus who witnessed the death and the resurrection of Jesus. There probably would have been more than those that are there. We just don't have a record of it. But there certainly were the women who had come early to the tomb. They had witnessed His death and resurrection. Jesus walked and talked with them. Can you imagine the excitement they must have felt after the blackness of that Friday? After that tragedy, after that horrible crucifixion, after it seemed that their whole world had fallen apart? Can you imagine just for a minute the excitement of celebrating that first Easter? They were powerful witnesses. And so just that number of witnesses would make for a compelling case in any courtroom. But do you know there's still more? Listen to Paul's words from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 3 to 8. For what I received, I pass on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, there's another witness, and then to the 12, there's the 12 disciples, and after that he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom are still living, although some have fallen asleep. And then he appeared to James, and then to all of the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me also as one abnormally born. Not just one witness, not just 12 witnesses, not just 20 witnesses, but more than 500 witnesses. And I think in this text, Paul was making a little point when he said, most of those guys, most of those gals are still alive. So just go and check it out if you don't believe me. But there's also another strong argument that the death and resurrection of Jesus really happened. For the apostles, you see, they devoted the remainder of their lives telling others about the death of Jesus and about his resurrection, about the hope that they had for their own resurrection and a place in heaven. Do you know that this decision of theirs was not a particularly wise career choice that paid well? There was no social status, no special awards for following Jesus. Quite the opposite was true. They were often hungry. They were often persecuted. They were jailed at times. And eventually, all but one died a horrible death. You know, that's hardly something that someone would do unless they had been absolutely convinced that they had seen and spent time with the risen Savior. And they serve as examples to us. You see, what did they do after that? Every Sunday morning, this was not a Jewish ritual, every Sunday morning they met together to do what? To celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. So they're examples to us. It appears that for them, each Sunday was an Easter celebration. Again, hardly something that people would devote their time and effort to do if the Lord had not indeed been raised. And so we can choose today with confidence to celebrate the risen Lord. And here's another a reason why we can celebrate the resurrection. We can celebrate the ongoing presence of the risen Savior. The lives of the disciples were often troublesome once Jesus had ascended into glory. But the risen Savior repeatedly promised that he would be with them, and he was even there in the dark and in the troubling times. While on earth, his presence was restricted to those he was with, but now in glory, he is omnipresent. He is with those who are with him. Once finished the death and the resurrection of Jesus, it made his presence everywhere possible. We may not experience all the challenges of that of the apostles, but whatever may come our way, he will not forsake us. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, we read, keep your life free from the love of money and be content with what you have. For he said, I will never leave you or forsake you. So we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man can do to me. Note that promise. Wonderful promise of Jesus. Mm-hmm. I will never leave you or forsake you. The Greek word that's translated there as leave is really quite interesting. It can be equally translated as not willing to give up. God doesn't give up on you. Mm-hmm. Not failing to uphold you. He upholds us with his strength. And so you can celebrate the risen Christ as one who will never give up and will always uphold you and will not let you sink, regardless of where you find yourself in the dark days of your journey. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13 says, the temptations in your life are no different from what others experience, and God is faithful. He will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. And when you are tempted, he will show you a way of escape so that you can endure. The Greek word here translated as temptations can equally be translated as trials. So we have a promise here that the trials or the temptations will not be greater than the grace that God gives us to withstand. And then, of course, in John chapter 14, verse 16 and 17, Jesus promises the presence of the Holy Spirit. He says, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you. And because he is risen, because he is alive, we can celebrate today the presence of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords in our lives and in our church. Lastly this morning, I want to share with you what Easter means for the future. In John chapter 14, verses 1 to 3, Jesus says, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. Because he was and is risen, because he is alive and is able to be building a home for you and I in glory, for those of us who have asked forgiveness for our sins and have accepted Jesus as our Savior, it changes our outlook on life going forward. We do have a promise of a glorious eternal future. We have a friend named Jim and his wife Donna, who have the mobile next to us in Florida. Last year when we returned, not this past season, but the season before when we returned, we found out that Jim has a very rare disease where the lung tissue becomes harder and harder, and he can take in less and less oxygen. And unless God does an amazing miracle, he is wrapped up in a fatal disease. And he became a pretty good friend. I even let him beat me at golf. And it has been sad to watch this decline as a friend. You're almost apprehensive to call and say, how are you doing, Jim? You've been there, I'm sure you've been there. I called him this week. How are you doing? Well, I'm okay. He's using 15 liters of oxygen per minute to stay alive. So unless that miracle comes, he's not going to be here at all. But he said this. He said, the closer I get, the more I am anticipating.
Amen.
But why is
that? Amen.
He said, David, he said, it gives me so many opportunities to share with other people what God has done for me and what I can look forward to. There's that sharing there, celebrating the story of Easter with others. He said, I am so looking forward to glory.
Amen.
No fear.
Yes.
Looking forward to that. It's an amazing place to be. Revelation chapter 21 begins with these amazing words about a future time. He says, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from heaven, from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is among his people, and he will dwell with them, and they will be his people. God himself will be with them and with their God. I love this. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. Yeah. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain. For the old order of things has passed away. And he who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. And then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jim has a bright future. And I trust that everyone here today knows the story of Easter, knows why the cross is important, knows why the resurrection is important, and knows Jesus as their personal Savior. I'd love to chat with you if you have any questions about that. Love to chat with you and share how you can know beyond the shadow of a doubt that you have a beautiful future because of the cross and the resurrection. Thank you, Jesus, for the cross. As ugly, as horrible as it was. Thank you, Lord, for the cross. Well, we're thankful too, Lord, that Sunday came.
Mm-hmm.
Sunday came. The sun broke over that beautiful holy land. The sun came and shone into an empty grave. A grave that changed the events of the world. A resurrection, a cause for each and every one of us to celebrate. You are alive. You have risen. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.